بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم ربنا لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ربنا تقبل منا وتجاوز عنا يا إلهنا، وهب لنا سيئاتنا وهب لنا أنفسنا وأعتق رقابنا من النار. وصلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. إمامة، chapter of جماعة. والجماعة سنة مؤكدة. The last point that we have studied is anyone who wants to follow some imam, then he needs to make intention to follow imam, am I right? To follow that person. That was the last thing. قال المصنف رحمه الله ونفعنا بعلومه وبكم آمين. You know, the love of dunya, it is the biggest basically problem which goes against the knowledge. Okay, so they say two loves cannot live in the same place. Okay, so either there will be love of knowledge or it will be love of dunya. So if we want to take knowledge, then basically we have to put everything else behind our back. Okay. Imam Abu Yusuf radiallahu anhu said brilliant word. He said, "Al-ilmu idha lam tu'tihi kullak lam yu'tika ba'dah." He said, "The knowledge, if you will not give to the knowledge all of you, it will not give to you some of it." Okay, so if you want to take some of knowledge, then you have to give all of you to it. قال المصنف رحمه الله ونفعنا بعلومه وبكم آمين. والجماعة سنة مؤكدة وأولى الناس بالإمامة أعلمهم بالسنة. فإن تساووا فأقرأهم، فإن تساووا فأورعهم، فإن تساووا فأسنهم. ويكره تخديم العبد والأعرابي والفاسق والأعمى وولد الزنا، فإن تقدموا جاز. والجماعة سنة مؤكدة. So he says جماعة to pray with جماعة, that is according to خدوري سنة مؤكدة. Now in this text we have got two important points. First, جماعة, definition of جماعة. What is جماعة? What is the number? First thing. The second is sunnah mu'akkada. Is it sunnah mu'akkada or not? So first thing, jama'ah. As you know, we have got two definitions of jama'ah. One is jama'ah in normal salawat, and the second is jama'ah in jum'ah. So in terms of normal salawat, jama'ah will be set up by two people, including imam. Imam and one other. Okay? But that the other person, does he have to be male and mature? We say no. Female, non-mature, will be done. So that is jama'ah. Okay? The second, sunnah mu'akkada. So, jama'ah, he says sunnah mu'akkada. But, accordingly to the mu'tamad opinion, jama'ah is wajib. Jama'ah is wajib. Then, to pray in jama'ah means, accordingly to mu'tamad position, is wajib. That is only for male. But for female, for the ladies, it is not wajib for them to pray in jama'ah. Now, the other thing, jama'ah, does it have to be in the mosque or is jama'ah general? What do you think?
General.
General means you can pray in your house. Okay. So we say jama'ah is wajib, but to go to the mosque is mustahabba, sunnah mustahabba. Okay, so jama'ah is wajib, and to pray in the mosque is sunnah mustahabba. But what about the jama'ah of the ladies on their own? We say that is makruh. But what about the jama'ah of the ladies if they will be praying behind some male imam? We say that is mustahabba. Okay, so wajib jama'ah is only for male. Then he says, وَأَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِالْإِمَامَةِ أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالسُّنَّةِ. And the person who has more right to be imam, أَعْلَمُهُمْ بِالسُّنَّةِ, the one who knows sunnah better, means more knowledgeable. But more knowledgeable in terms of praying, how to pray, conditions of salat, sunnah, mustahab, and sajda sahw, and that kind of things. And فَإِنْ تَسَاوَوْا, but if all of them will be equal in terms of the knowledge, فَأَقْرَوْهُمْ, then the one who recites better, in terms of he memorizes more surahs. Did you understand? Okay, so we have two people, one is scholar and the second is hafiz. So scholar has more right to lead jama'ah, even if he memorizes only two or three juz of Quran. Okay? فَإِن تَسَاوَوْا, but if all of them are equal, all of them are equal in terms of knowledge and in terms of Quran, فَإِن تَسَاوَوْا فَأَوْرَعُهُمْ, then more practicing one. أَوْرَع means the one who avoids sins. That is wara. Do I have any similar word in English language? Wara in Arabic language means the one who avoids sins, doesn't commit sin. So it could be two brothers, two people. One never commits sin, but he does only few of good deeds. And the other, commits sin, but in the same time he does lots of good deeds. So first one is wara, has got wara.
Closest it should come to is the person with the most morals.
No, moral is about doing also, isn't it?
No.
Not only. Well, I would say fearful, maybe.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't commit sin because he's afraid of sins. Fearful, maybe. Fearful. So if they will be equal in terms of knowledge and Quran, then the most fearful person, he has more right to lead jama'ah. Okay? فَإِن تَسَاوَوْا فَأَسَنُّهُمْ. But if they will be equal, then the oldest person will be leading jama'ah. The one who's older. Okay? Then he says, وَيُكْرَهُ تَقْدِيمُ الْعَبْدِ, and it is makruh tahriman to let the slave to lead jama'ah. But the slave, my question now, Atta ibn Abi Rabah, you know him. Okay, the hugest tabi'i, the hugest scholar tabi'i. He was slave. Okay, Nafi'a. Do you know the golden chain in hadith? Okay, what is the golden chain of hadith? According to Imam Bukhari, Malik an Nafi'a an Ibn Umar. So Nafi'a was slave of Ibn Umar. Did you understand? And he is in the golden chain of hadith. Did you understand? So now my question, how come that slave, it's makruh for him to lead jama'ah?
Because you're presenting yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And
so?
It's not normal practice to put the person who's lowest in rank to okay. represent you. So if you're going before a king, you wouldn't send just a servant to speak on your behalf. You'd send your highest diplomat or to represent you.
Okay, reasonable. Well, in that sense, then it is better to, for example, put some slave because he's representing your weakness and your need in front of God. So for example, you are going to the king to seek for forgiveness for you. Then you will send someone who makes him to be sorry more than anyone else. Am I right? Then you will send some of your ill kids. Okay, so then he will look at him, say, okay, so, and whenever he says, he's very sorry, you know, anything he asks, he will just apply that. I mean, give it. Don't you think so? Is it reasonable? Okay.
So you wouldn't really expect a slave to lead in
And?
So.
No. Imam in here is not to make him in the position of Imam, as we understand. To lead Jama'ah. Right. Now we're praying and there is some slave. So he says it's makruh for some slave to lead our Jama'ah. Why it should be like that?
But again, the Imam is the leader of the Jama'at, isn't he?
In terms of spiritual leader.
Yeah, and representing.
Yeah, and in terms of spirituality, there shouldn't be any problem if he's slave, materialistic slave, but in terms of spirituality, he could be much more higher than any of us.
If anybody objects within themselves while praying,
Reasonable, because Salat based on khushu'. And we have got different kind of people. Someone has got very huge ego. Okay, and in the Salat, during Salat, he has to be very khushu'. But we are making, when we are making slave to lead Jama'ah, we are causing for that kind of people with weak iman to be confused during Salat, when they should be concentrating on Salat. That is one thing, reasonable, mashallah, excellent. Anything else?
You might get the slave's master telling him to go and lead prayer. Go and lead prayer because they're lazy or they're...
Is it a condition of a person who's the imam, is it a condition that the people behind him need to be pleased with him?
It's not condition, but it's one of the requested things, yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So he did that point, yes. He did that point. So we say, in terms of slaves, it used to be, in the past time, the most of the slaves, they used to be ignorant, because they wouldn't have a time to study, and no money to study also. Did you understand? Okay? So that used to be one of the reasons. Okay, because if he's slave, then most likely he's ignorant. Okay, but let's suppose if there will be slave scholar and free ignorant, so then who has more right? Definitely slave. Did you understand? So one of the most important things about it is the knowledge. And the other important thing, as he said, we need to bring more people to Jama'ah. And people with ego, evil in their heart, if they will know that Imam will be slave, then they will not come to the Jama'ah.
So, I mean, essentially it's about respect. The people behind the Imam need to respect the Imam. And unless they're a slave who's known for his knowledge, therefore commands respect because of his knowledge.
Well, that is one thing, but the most important thing, because ignorant guy, if something will happen accidentally during Salat, he doesn't know what to do. When he should be making sajda to sahu, how she should be reciting, how he should be, for example, behaving during salah. Did you understand? So the ignorance, that basically is the thing.
What if a person is more knowledgeable,
yes,
in terms of the aspects of salah, but his recitation is defective?
Then his imam is not valid.
Right.
He doesn't have a right to lead jama'ah.
So then the person who's less what if he's less knowledgeable, and less in terms of memorization of the Quran,
yes,
his recitation is
accurate. Yes, he has to lead Jama'ah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Arabi, and the second category, which is makruh to lead Jama'ah, is Arabi, Bedouin. Why?
For similar reasons.
Again, the same thing with the slave, you know. And Bedouins, we know that they are, for example, in terms of farming and gardening, maybe that they could be perfect. But in terms of this kind of knowledge, perfect knowledge, I mean, they very rarely will be involved into it. Okay? And then, wal fasiq, disobedient, non-practicing guy. It is makruh for him to lead Jama'ah. Why? Disobedient is makruh for him to lead Jama'ah. Because he said yes, because he's disobedient, yes, you are right.
Nobody also, without khushu behind him.
Yes, that is the other point. So the people, disobedient people, mainly they're hated by practicing people who are praying in Jama'ah. Okay? So we say any imam, there is some hadith which criticizes the imam who has been hated by jama'ah. Did you understand? But then our scholar, they clarified. They said, there is something reasonable for imam to be hated, then that is makruh for him to lead jama'ah. But if there is no anything reasonable for imam to be hated, then the group, the jama'ah, they are sinful by hating Muslim. Okay, so for example, we say it's two different groups, you know. In our time, we have got not two million different groups of Muslim. Okay, so, but one brother from different background is leading our jama'ah. Okay, and we hate him. But he's practicing, mashallah, knowledgeable, this, that, okay. But we hate him. What is the reason? Because he's from different background. We are sinful. Did you understand? But if he is disobedient and we hate him because of that, then he is sinful to lead our jama'ah.
Would fasiq in this case include someone who's clean shaven?
Sorry?
The fasiq,
yes.
In terms of transgressor,
yes.
In this case,
yes.
would that include someone?
Okay, mashallah. We have got
clean shaven.
Okay. We have got two main things. Okay? One is the original status of Hanafi madhab. Okay? And the second is our qawaid and regulation that we use. Okay? So in terms of original status is, in Hanafi madhab, to have long beard, that long that you will be able to catch it, that is wajib. In Hanafi madhab. Means anyone not by shaving but by cutting, he will be disobedient, fasiq. So he will fit into the same thing. Okay? That is one thing. And the other thing, we have got some qaida, fiqhiyya, which says, إِذَا عَمَّ خَفَّ. Something which becomes popular, public, it becomes lower. Okay? Means, for example, do you know that white thing, black cloth, for example, shirt with white thing here? What's the hukum of that? Okay, so what is the hukum of that? To wearing that kind of clothes?
It's haram.
Haram, why?
Because it's associated with Christians.
Right? It is a religious sign of Christians. But if that thing, let's suppose, after 10 years becomes fashionable, then because it became fashionable, popular, so it comes down one step back. That becomes makruh tahrima. Okay? And to wear the clothes of disobedience, rock stars, you know, movie stars, that is makruh tahrima. That's not haram, but that is makruh tahrima. But if it becomes popular, then it becomes one step backward. That becomes makruh tanzihan. Okay, for example, long time ago, jeans used to present the disobedience only. Okay, and even so far, if you will go to India or Pakistan, if you will be wearing jeans, then you are disobedient. Okay, but now in the Western countries or in most of the world, it became popular, so now it's no more sin. Did you understand? Why? Because when you're wearing it, you are not copying some disobedience. You're wearing it because it's just fashion of your time. Did you understand? Okay, so do not forget, qa'ida saying, إِذَا عَمَّ خَفَّ. For example, mashallah, now in our time, I do know some of brothers who make tafsiq, who call others as disobedient because they do not wear topi, hat, or they do not wear, for example, Asian clothes, shalwar kameez or some kind of, you know, that kind of things. Well, I say it's ignorance. That is ignorance. Or he is still living in maybe 50 years, you know, ago. He's not realizing that now is different time. Okay, so إِذَا عَمَّ خَفَّ. Do not forget this qaida. Okay? Yeah, and also, we say, so alhamdulillah, mashallah, all of the brothers here from fuqara, okay? So in our way, we say, anyone who is doing something which could be some kind of sin, but there is one excuse he has got. So you have to think about that excuse. Did you understand? But if he's doing something which doesn't have any excuse, then you should stay away. Did you understand? Okay? So that is our position. Okay? He could have excuse that you don't know. Did you understand? But one is certainty not to have bad opinion about Muslims. That is certainty. Am I right? That is sin. So he is doing something which could be sin or which may not be. But the other thing, to think bad about Muslims, that is definitely sin. Did you understand? So do not involve yourself into the certainty because of some possible issue of someone else. Did you understand? Now, the next is al-a'ma, blind person. It is makruh for the blind person to lead jama'ah. Why?
Because he can't be entirely sure of what's going on. As in, maybe quite to where he's putting his hands in relation to, you know, his head and things like that. Or is it that he can't check things like Qibla time?
Because if Jama'ah, not blind people, you know, all of them blind and one blind is leading and no one knows what time is it and which direction is Qibla, you know. So the other, you know, at least one among the group, he will know what time is it.
But isn't that to do with knowledge? Like, for instance, part of what you said earlier, that one of the main reasons to choose someone is because of his knowledge about the fiqh.
Yes, yes.
So if he's blind, even if everyone else isn't blind and can tell the time, is his responsibility as imam to determine those points, and he won't be able to validate many points of that.
For example,
are the lines straight enough? Is the time? People say it's the time for Maghrib, but a person of knowledge would evaluate that. Themselves.
No, because that could be sorted. That could be, what do you think? People know it, so it could be sorted. So it has to be something certainty. Something definite.
Oh, wudu.
Blind doesn't have wudu?
No. How can they be certain that they've washed and they've not left any dry bits?
Okay. MashaAllah. You know, the blind people, because they have a saying, whenever any blind person, he has got something super. Okay, so when... Even when you're washing your hand, do you watch when you just feel? Am I right? Am I right? And the same thing, especially on your head, how you can... it shouldn't be a problem, is it? Is it? But you were very close. You were very close.
Does it go back to the expectation, just as the slave and the person? The assumption would have been that a blind person couldn't access the knowledge.
Most likely, the blind people... they will not be scholars, okay, most likely, okay, because the equipment of knowledge for blind people is not that proper as for normal people. That is one thing. And the second thing, as he was very close, he sometimes may not be able to make sure that he doesn't have filth on his clothes, maybe, or on the place. Did you understand? Okay, yeah, but mashallah will give him point because he was very close, so he did get that point, okay. No, point, I mean, not the negative one, but the positive, not the driving lessons point. sign, what do they name it? The good point.
Brownie point.
Yes, Do you have that star to put here? And then, wawaladi zina, and wawaladi zina, how to call it?
Bastard is the actual
word. But that's a very bad word, is it? But
it's illegitimate child.
Okay.
That's the proper
word.
That's the proper English dictionary word for it. Yeah.
Okay. So basically the one who has the kid which was born by zina, basically. Okay. Okay, and in terms of walad zina, why do you think that it should be a problem? Because as you know, if you remember, Rasulullah has been asked about zina, walad zina. So he said, walad zina doesn't have any sin. Which is very rational logic. why someone committed zina and he should be responsible. Rasulullah Islam denied that. He said he's not sinful. He doesn't have any wrong with him. Then why we should make him to be lower, or his leadership, imama, is makruh? Why?
Because the people might not accept him.
Excellent, excellent. Because to increase the number of people who are praying, that is requested. Okay, and people are not as sahaba. If it would be the time of sahaba, then everyone would accept. Knowledgeable, even if he's walad zina, so what? But in our time, it's not accepted. Did you understand? Okay. Even, it's not that, you know, even if it would be son of your enemy, you will treat him even worse than walad zina in our time, you know. So that is illness of our hearts in our time. So that's why we say it is not recommended for walad zina to be imam. Did you understand? فَإِن تَقَدَّمُوا جَازَ. But if they will be leading jama'ah, jaza, salat is valid. Okay, so this, we should open our eyes on this word saying jaza, permissible. Because, mashallah, especially in some certain group, is not valid. They will repeat salat. So for example, it happened with me for several times. If they will... For example, once recently it happened in Dewsbury, some of the brothers with very short beard or even shaved beard, he did lead Jama'ah. But his recitation was just perfect. Okay? I wasn't there. And then some brother came and he joined. But he was praying behind. And when Imam turned towards the Jama'ah after completing, he saw his beard and then he went back and then he repeated his salat. And it was Maghrib, 3 rakats. Did you understand? So it was makruh on top of makruh. Did you understand? Mm. Because first of all, it is not with Maghrib, because Maghrib has been done with him. So that he prayed nafil 3 rakat. So that is makruh. Okay? And the second thing is he caused separation. That is fitna. That is even more than killing some Muslim. Okay? Yes, so but mashallah, we say disagreement happened between all of Muslims and that brother. According to all of Muslims, including the Prophet ﷺ, it is permissible for disobedient to lead Jama'ah, Salat will be valid, but that brother says, no, it's not valid. Do you understand? That's how it looks like. Then he says, وَيَنْبَغِي لِلْإِمَامِ, and it is recommended to Imam, أَلَّا يُطَوِّلَ بِهِمُ الصَّلَاةِ, not to extend, not to make Salat very long. Okay, so if he can recite the short surahs, then that is recommended. وَيُكْرَهُ لِلْنِسَاءِ أَنْ يُصَلِّينَ وَحْدَهُنَّ. And it is makruh for the ladies to pray as jama'ah on their own. Okay, but what about if some imam is leading and there is a group of male jama'ah and the ladies are joining to that salat. We say that is mustahab, that is okay. Okay, but to make their own separate jama'ah, we say that is not recommended. Okay, but in our time, we are having some other issue. So for example, some of the ladies will be having some kind of activities, you know, together. And they want to, for example, teach tajweed, and they want to bring all of the sisters together to make some kind of Islamic activities. So I say, it is very, very recommended in our time, because most of the ladies, in terms of Islamic knowledge, they are ignorant, you know. Okay, so when it will be the turn of, for example, studying in university to study banking and marketing and that kind of, so they will send the daughters to the university. But when it comes to learning Islamic knowledge, they say that is fitna, that is haram, you know, the ladies should be sitting at home, then let them to sit at home in terms of banking, university, you know. Okay, so now, mashallah, is different. So that's it. Then we say, so if they will come together to make some kind of activity, is it okay for them to pray together? Especially when they will be praying together, some of the ladies may not know how to pray, so they will be learning. So I would say it shouldn't be a problem. What do you think? we have got two things. One is, even if they are all together to pray on their own, is it okay? I mean, I would say that is mustahab. But in that case, some of the ladies may not know how to pray. Okay? So they will be ashamed and they will say, they will lie. They will say, I'm in my period. They will lie, basically. Okay? So I would say maybe it's better for them to pray together. So it will be also lesson. They will learn how to pray. Did you understand? So I think that is excuse. So that basically makes salat of the ladies together permissible. فَإِنْ فَعَلْنَا But if they will pray together on their own, وَقَفَتِ الْإِمَامُ وَسَطَهُنَّ Imam will stand in the middle. In the middle. Okay? For example, with male imam, he will stand in front of jama'ah. But with female, she will be standing on the same line. Okay, as the same as we stay next to each other when we pray, two of us, Imam and Ma'mum. Because, you know, we have got disagreement between Abu Hanifa and Sahaban. Abu Hanifa says, if it's only two people, then Imam and Ma'mum will be standing next to each other on the same line. But Sahaban say no, about 1 foot backward. Ma'mum will be standing 1 foot backward. And Mu'tamad is called Imam Abu Hanifa. Okay, so that is the same style how the ladies should be standing if they are praying on their own. Did you understand? وَمَنْ صَلَّى مَعَ وَاحِدٍ If anyone, here is the issue. When, if anyone prays مَعَ وَاحِدٍ with one person, أَقَامَهُ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ He will make him to stand on his right side, on the same line. Okay? My question, but what about if he will be standing on your left or behind? Did you understand the question? I'm praying with one person. So that person, I'm praying Dhuhr, so he did join to my Jama'ah, to my Salat. And then he stood on my left or on my backside, you know, behind me. So is his Salat valid or not? Because he says that if it's two people, then the person, Ma'mum, should be standing on the right side. Right side, sorry.
It's jais.
Okay.
It's valid.
Okay. Okay, excellent. So we say it is makruh, tahriman, but it is valid, jais. And do you have to try to bring him on to your right side?
You can't if you're praying.
Sorry?
Praying, you can't
bring you cannot. No. Why?
Because it will involve you
into the movement.
Into movement, okay. Or doing some action that is not regarded.
Okay. So we say, you know, we have got two things. One is movement out of salat, and the second is the movement which makes complete salat, which helps support salat. So the second one is permissible. So we say, if you will try to bring him onto your right side, then that is okay, that's permissible. But by lowest numbers of movements. Okay, but in our time, because most of the people they're ignorant, then it's better to leave it. I remember once basically some brother, I don't know, from one of the countries basically, he was praying in Mecca. Do you know where is Safa and Marwa? When you go to Marwa, you do not see actual Kaaba because there is some wall, you know. Okay, so if you want to pray towards Kaaba, then you should face slightly on your left side. But this brother was facing the other side. Okay, then basically we tried to move him, you know, a little bit, but he was very strong. He was just facing, you know, that side. Okay, and at the end, maybe he got bored and he did this, you know, miss, go away. Yes, so then we just left him. So we say, in that case, basically, he should be changing. Okay, if you can take him to your right side, then you should. But if you are in that kind of group, then it's better to leave him alone. You know? فَإِنْ كَانَ So, وَمَنْ صَلَّ مَعَ وَاحِدٍ أَقَامَهُ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ So, Imam Quduri from the beginning, he did basically report the opinion of Abu Hanifa. Okay, but according to Sahabain, Imam should be standing onward, one step onward. You understand? فَإِنْ كَانَ اثنين, but if it will be two people behind Imam or with Imam, I mean, not including Imam, تَقَدَّمَ عَلَيْهِمَا, Imam should be moving onward. He should be standing in front of them. So here is brilliant position, brilliant thing has been done by Imam Quduri. He says, if it will be two people behind Imam, then Imam, he is responsible to take steps onward. Did you understand? So that is the first option, the best option. Okay, but usually what do we do when we join to Salat? So we come and we'll make Tahrima and then we'll pull the person towards us, backward. Okay, so we say that's permissible, but you should make sure that you will enter Salat first. Okay? When you enter Salat, then you can pull the person who's standing next to Imam. Okay? So that is the second best option.
My practice, based on, I don't know what, but is if there were two people praying, yeah. Imam and the person following, I'd put my hand on the shoulder and that person would move back. Yes. And then I would do...
Okay.
So...
his salat invalidated in some case.
All right.
But you've done your salat. That's the most important.
Is that tradition we've been following then?
No, we say no because do you remember the problem?
He's responded to someone outside salat.
Yes, yes. It is the same case. What we have done? No. With that brother who was standing. Yeah. So we say, if this case will happen, so when you will point on him, if he will respond straight away, then his salat is invalidated. But if he will respond afterward, on his own, then that's fine, basically. Do you understand?
Could you just repeat that, sorry?
So, for example, to respond someone who's out of salat straight away, that is invalidating issue. That's invalidating act.
So the person who's... Basically, if I do that to somebody, it's invalid.
If he comes back straight away, yes. If he moves back, but the most important thing, you did pray.
Yeah, we've done it many times.
Yes, so I mean, for him, do not be bothered.
So, is that why it's preferable for the imam to move forward? Because if he moves forward,
yes.
Then it's only one person.
Yes, of course, yeah.
But what if there's no room, if you're in that corner?
Yeah, yeah.
Then.
No, then you have to help yourself anyhow you can, yeah.
So, you go, say...
Tahrima. Then you will pull him.
Then you pull, you've tied your hands.
No. You will just enter Salat,
yeah.
And then you can do it straight away.
And then you move back as well without lifting your feet.
No. You will be back already. Then you will just pull him.
But I can't reach.
No,
yeah,
you will take a step onward,
yeah.
And then you will pull him, and then you will just put it back.
Okay, another related question is, quite often what happens is you have the imam, and you have a whole line of people,
yeah.
And then I don't think anyone's going to come to follow, and so I'm making the second row by myself,
okay.
Which I heard was not...
It's makruh, yes.
And so then I want to pull someone and never know where to take them from.
Yes. Yes.
Do I take them from the middle? Do I take them from...
No, it should be from the middle. You have to stand exactly behind Imam on the same line. But in Hanafi madhhab we say that's makruh tahriman, but we say if you know someone who is student of knowledge or someone who will understand what you are trying to do, then basically you should pull him back. But if you don't know anyone, then you should be waiting for someone to come. And, I mean, till Imam goes to Ruku. But as soon as Imam will go to Ruku, then forget everyone, everything, and then just go to join Imam. So first option, you should try to find someone in the line who is knowledgeable, who will understand what you're trying to do. Okay? And if there will not be anyone, then basically you have to wait till Ruku, if maybe someone comes, maybe, to join. Okay? But if no one comes till Ruku, then just join to Imam and that's it.
And if I see everyone in that line,
yeah.
And they're all knowledgeable
about
prayer, preference is to stand right behind the imam and kick the person to the side.
Yes, yeah, that's it.
And then do they close the gap?
Or yes, of course, yeah. They will just go. Yeah, yeah.
And you have to have done takbir tahrim before.
Yes, yes. Yes.
See, I think the problem is that most people just don't know.
No. Yes, so in our time, maybe there's only one option. You should wait for someone, or otherwise just join to imam.
So I did it before once, and no one responded. They just ignored me.
It's because you hadn't done takbir tahrim in first.
Well, of course I hadn't. Yeah, that's a good point.
No, but it's very important to make tahrim first, because if you will make ishara to anyone, he will respond straight away. Did you understand? So that's why it's recommended to make tahrim first.
Can I just go back to one question about the females? You said it's mustahab if a female comes along and to join the jamaat that's already going or that's being led by a male and has males behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I get that right? You said it's mustahab for a female to come along.
To join.
Is there a condition in terms of where she joins back? Is there supposed to be a gap of at least one saf or two safs or...
Okay, so we say if there is some specified place for the lady, then she should go there. Mm-hmm. Or otherwise,
if it's one hall, for example.
So we say she has to stay as much as, backward she can.
So right to the
behind. Back. Yes, okay. That is better, yeah.
Just one more question. If, for example, this two-step of people reading Salat, the person in front breaks his wudu and walks.
Why that question? Did it happen?
Because it happens, yeah. We see it.
I guess the sound.
So, why? Because we'll not break wudu. So, if somebody breaks their wudu, so there's a gap, and I don't know what the Sheikh's finding funny.
Should they just close the gap, just as they did when you said that if you pull someone back, they just close
the gap? What if it's a Juma and there's nowhere to go for you? What do you do? Do you just continue?
I think the Sheikh's thinking we're doing it fast.
He's probably thinking you're doing it.
Somebody breaks their wuzu in front, so there's a gap, right? So somebody from the back, because we've seen this so somebody from the back row goes up.
No, first is the responsibility of the people in the same line to stay there. But if it doesn't happen, then the person has to move from the back line. No, the funny thing is, why is there is gap, Is it because the person left?
Yeah.
Should not leave?
Yeah, should not leave?
Okay, yes. Yes.
They should leave, shouldn't they?
Yes, if it's possible, but if you are, sometimes it happens that, the best option all the time to have some door towards imam, mihrab side, okay, or on the sides. But if there will be only one door behind, then the people, for example, who will invalidate their salat, the front lines, then they should be waiting in front. Did you understand? But in our time, I would say maybe it's the best option just to keep on pretending to be praying, or otherwise it will cause big fitna. Okay? But intention should be just pretending. Yeah, because to pray deliberately, intentionally, without wudu, that is kufr. Yeah, no, because now we are out of salat and it caused so many, so the people, if someone is waiting in front, and then others are praying, definitely a couple of brothers, they will start doing this,
Okay.
ولا يجوز للرجال أن يقتدوا بامرأة أو صبي. it is not permissible for male to follow female or kid. Now we have got two problems in here. First is, in terms of following lady imam, that is ijma' of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. No one disagreed on it. Okay? And now, mashallah, we have got, as you know, one of the fitna issues in our time. We have got a lady imam who is even making khutbah and leading jama'ah. Okay, so that we say, it is one of the bid'ah issues. Then we should take it to the issue if it is bid'ah mukaffira or bid'ah ghayr mukaffira. I would say it is bid'ah ghayr mukaffira. Do you know the difference between this and that? Bid'ah mukaffira means by committing that bid'ah it causes kufr. So for example, limit God. That is bid'ah first of all, and that is mukaffira also causes kufr. And the second is, for example, this one. Okay, to say that the lady can be imam of male jama'ah. Okay, so that is bid'ah, but it doesn't constitute kufr. But it's so bad thing, you know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, you know, there will be time when fitnas will be coming at the same as waves coming and beating the seaside. Okay, and each time when the wave comes, it goes back. And then the second one will come, which is even stronger. Then it will go back again. And then the next one will be coming and going back again. So the Muslim, in that time, he will be facing the fitnas. Okay, that fitna is coming. And Muslim will say, this is my death. Okay, and then it will just go, it will disappear. And the next wave will come, which is even more stronger. Then Mu'min will say that this is my death. And then it will go back again. And then so on, it will be carrying on. Okay, so for example, recently we had the problem, so many fitnas, you know. So this is one of the fitnas. Okay, and the thing which we can do now is, by our heart, we have to deny all of these bid'ah things, or otherwise we could be involved into this. Okay, so in our heart we have to deny it. Anyway, it's not permissible for the male group to follow female imam. And what about the second thing, to follow a kid? In Hanafi madhab is not permissible. Why? Because the kid is not mukallaf. So even if he's praying fard, then it's not fard. That is nafl for him. Am I right? Then the question, that's fine, we can understand that kid, non-mature kid, cannot lead jama'ah of fard salat, five times salat. But what about nafl salawat, for example, taraweeh, which is very wide tradition in Asian countries, for example, in Uzbekistan also. So they make the kid who makes khatm of Quran to basically lead jama'ah. 5 years old kid who memorized Quran, he will be leading jama'ah of Taraweeh. So is it okay or not?
By the reason you gave for the first one, it should be jaiz.
Yeah, because mustahab, because his salat is not fard and mustahab. So here is mustahab, nafl. So why it shouldn't be permissible, isn't it? Yeah, it's reasonable. What do you think?
Generally speaking, again, for reasons we talked about, the makruh people to pray behind.
Yes.
You wouldn't expect a child to have knowledge of salah, and you wouldn't have had time,
yes,
particularly in this day and age.
Okay, reasonable.
Except some exceptional.
Okay, but what about if there would be some kid, for example, 10 years old, and he is not mature yet, okay? And then basically he did memorize Quran, and he has got enough knowledge. Okay? So I remember when I was 12 years old, I was teaching. I was teaching Arabic language and I was teaching some bit of Tajweed and Fiqh. So it could happen. Okay? So what then? Is it permissible for that kid to lead Taraweeh?
It could be valid.
It could be, well, because it's nafl, I mean, his father is Nafal. So why it shouldn't be, I mean, permissible? Reasonable, isn't it? Or is there any other option?
But he's still not on the same level as us.
Excellent.
It's from Akida.
The level... Why did you add the last bit? You know? Okay, so we say it's his Nafal, again, is not on our level of Nafal. Why? Because when we invalidate our Nafal, we have to repeat it. Am I right? Mm. But what about the kid? If he invalidates Nafal, does he have to repeat it? He doesn't have to. So his Nafal is even lower than our. So that's why we say, nor fard and nor any Nafal is valid for kid to lead the jama'ah of mature male or female. Understood? So, وَيَصِفُ الرِّجَالُ ثُمَّ الصُّبِيَانُ ثُمَّ النِّسَاءُ. Then he says, the order of standing is, first, it will be men, male, musallin will be standing, then kids, then female. And in the other copy of Quduri, which is more reliable, it is first male and then kids, then hermaphrodite, then female. Did you understand? So that should be the order of basically jama'ah. فإن قامت امرأة إلى جنب رجل وهما مشتركان في صلاة واحدة فسدت صلاته. If some lady will stay next to the man and they are praying the same salat, the same salat behind the same imam, then basically salat of the man is invalid.
Very big problem in Mecca.
No, in Mecca is exception.
Really?
Yes, because it's impossible to control that.
Yeah.
So we say that's fine, no problem. Okay.
And Medina as well?
No, it's not.
Medina as well, Medina is separate.
No? Yes, yeah. Now, it is basically the mas'ala named muhadhat. Mas'alatul muhadhat in fiqh is exactly the same mas'ala. Mas'alatul muhadhat, muhadhat in Arabic language means hadha yuhadhi, to stay on the same level. Okay? Yuhadhi. For example, I can say, al-ka'su yuhadhi sama'a, means this is standing on the same level as microphone. Did you understand? So that is muhadhat. So, it is a mas'ala named mas'alatul muhadhat. Okay? So what is the mas'alatul muhadhat? Mas'alatul muhadhat, basically, if some lady will stand next to some man, okay, and there is no any barrier between them, and they are praying the same salat behind the same imam, and imam made intention of leading the ladies also, then salat of the man who is standing next to the lady is invalid, and the same thing about the one who is standing behind the lady also invalid. Did you understand? Till the end. Okay? Now, it has got several conditions. First is, the lady should be mature. But what about some girl stands next to, for example, some man? We say, she doesn't invalidate salat. Did you understand? So first condition, she has to be baligha. The second condition is, both of them, they have to be praying the same salat behind the same imam. Okay? So let's suppose that I'm praying fard and she's praying sunnah next to me. That's fine. I mean, it doesn't invalidate my salat. Did you understand? But we're both praying dhuhr, fard of dhuhr, and we're staying next to each other. Okay? That's the second condition, to be in the same salat. Third condition is, there is no barrier between us. What is barrier? Barrier is one of two. The barrier is one of two. The first is the gap in between us, that much gap in which one proper man can fit in. That is one barrier. Or the second is, there is something, even some fabric, even if it is very close. But there is some barrier, this for example. Okay? Or the other barrier also, it is the differences on the level. Differences on the level. I'm standing higher or she's standing higher and I'm lower. Then how long it should be the difference? So we say whole length. Okay, so over the head. Did you understand? And so that is basically the next or the last condition is Imam should have done the intention to lead Jama'ah of the ladies also. Did you understand? So he knows that there are men and women. So he's making tahrima based on that. But if he didn't make the intention for the ladies, then her salat is not valid. But what about the ladies who are standing behind? All of the salat is valid. But only the lady who is standing next to the man is not valid. As long as Imam didn't make intention of the ladies. Did you understand? Okay.
So you have Imam and you have men.
Yeah.
So he makes the niyyah that I'm going to lead men in Jama'ah. And then a group of women stand behind the whole Jama'ah.
Yeah.
Their prayers are valid.
Valid, yes.
So it only applies to if they... So if there's the Imam and a group of men, there's a barrier, and then there's a group of women on the side at the same level.
Yeah.
But the Imam hasn't made intention to lead women, their prayers are invalid?
Valid. Because there is barrier, you told me.
Because they're valid.
Yeah.
So if there's no barrier.
Yeah. Right, so yeah. Only... the lady, the first lady who stays next to men. But the rest of the ladies valid.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But then, to be on the same level, what does it mean? To be on the same level by feet. Means, she's staying behind, but when she makes sajda, she comes, you know, on the same level. That doesn't make sense. I mean, it doesn't invalidate then. It has to be, we should be standing on the same level in terms of our feet. Did you understand? Yeah. I remember once my teacher, his name is Mufti Shamsul Arifin, one of the greatest scholars who really did benefit me a lot. And may Allah bless him. He's a very great person. So he told me, he was studying in Mecca also. So he told me that once he was praying in Masjid al-Haram, okay, and he was praying there, and some lady came and stood next to him, okay. So and he wanted to avoid it, because the most important thing is the feet. So he took one step onward, okay. And, mashallah, this lady is, Rasulullah used to look at the line. Okay, so she wanted to apply sunnah, and then she pulled him back. Okay, and then he didn't go back. And then she pulled again, and then she did this. So this was really funny.
So did he move then? Or?
Yes, he did move back then.
You said that Makkah is the exception, but is it still better to try and take
the course? Yes, of course, But what about, let's suppose, yesterday I think some brother asked me this question. He said, there is Imam, and first line is line of men, and then the second line, the line of ladies, and then men, and then ladies again. Complicated question, because we are Hanafis, so we ask this kind of questions a lot. So what do you think in this scenario?
They just the line, the second line of men, their prayers invalid.
Okay.
And basically all the men praying behind women,
excellent,
their lines are
excellent,
their prayers invalid.
Because all of them are standing behind the ladies, so the salat is not valid. ويكره للنساء حضور الجماعات. And it's makruh for the ladies, for the young ladies to come to the mosques to pray five times a day, the young ladies. ولا بأس بأن تخرج العجوز في الفجر والمغرب والعشاء. And it is permissible for the old lady to come for Salat al-Fajr and Maghrib and Isha. Okay, according to Sahabin. And according to Abu Hanifa, that is not permissible also. Well, Sahabin, they made exception of these three salawat because in the time of Fajr, disobedient people, they sleep. Okay? And in the time of Maghrib and Isha, they are busy, you know, in their own events in terms of drinking alcohol, this and that, you know. Yeah, so that's why Sahabin, they gave permission. But anyway, our scholars, the latest ones, they did follow the opinion of Abu Hanifa, so no any lady allowed to go to Jama'ah. But then we say, but what about the activities that ladies are doing? So in the first status, we say all of that is not permissible. Okay, but then to seek a knowledge is fard. Am I right? So for that we say no problem. Okay. What, and yeah.
What about I can see in a non-Muslim country,
yeah,
how, you know, to make it a routine would be unnecessary. A Muslim country, to make it a routine would be unnecessary, but here in non-Muslim country, there are, you know, for a mother, particularly with children, to teach them how to come to the masjid, and there's nowhere else, Islamic environment, to come. And if it's done with that need to go regularly for prayers, I'm sure it wouldn't actually be five times, but even if it was, would it be some kind of...
No, of course. I do say in terms of the ladies going to the Jama'ah, going to the Islamic activities, I do support that thing.
Mm.
Yeah, especially in the UK and in Western countries, because there is no any other chance to practice our religion, you know.
Mm.
So we'll die, you know, we'll lose our iman even if we'll be sitting at home. Okay, so... I would just support the opinion which says that we should help them to make some kind of activity. That's how they basically learn Islamic morals and Islamic knowledge. You understand? So, I mean, this opinion, basically, this based on the opinion which says that it is fard for the father or brothers or the husband to teach the lady. But now, we as fathers and husbands and brothers, we are ignorant. Did you understand? وَلَا يُصَلِّ الطَّاهِرُ خَلْفَ مَنْ بِهِ ثَلَسُ الْبَوْلِ. And the pure person who has got perfect wudu, he is not allowed to pray behind the one who has excuse. ثَلَسُ الْبَوْلِ means continuously he is urinating. You know, that kind of illness. And he means any kind of excuse. So, for example, he's bleeding all the time. Or, for example, he's bleeding from some of the limbs, maybe. Or he's breaking his wudu all the time somehow. Okay, so his wudu is not perfect. So the person who has got better condition is not permissible for him to pray behind that person. Okay? Then, وَلَا الطَّاهِرَاتْ خَلْفَ الْمُسْتَحَاضَةِ. And it is not permissible also for the perfect, pure ladies to pray behind the lady who has got istihada. Okay? Because their salat is more better. I mean, perfect. وَلَا الْقَارِئْ خَلْفَ الْأُمِّ. Here is our problem. And it's also not valid, it's not permissible to pray someone who can recite Quran perfectly to pray behind the one whose recitation is not valid. Ummi means ignorant, whose recitation is not valid. But what about the person with non-valid recitation will be following the other person who has got the same condition? We say that is valid, that's permissible.
How does one make that distinction? Whose decision is it, if you like, to
to make the distinction between one whose recitation of Quran or Tajweed is acceptable against not acceptable. Where is the cutoff point?
Acceptable. Basically, we need to follow the scholars. Okay, and in terms of the scholarship, you know, we have got two kinds of scholars. One is just normal, and the second one is very extreme. So, for example, we have some of the teachers of Tajweed, they have got nearly waswasa. Even small mistake for them is a huge thing. Did you understand? So, those people are not judged. Did you understand? So, it should be just normal, balanced scholar. Okay? So, mainly, anyone who cannot pronounce the letters properly, so their salat is not valid. Okay, so for example, once I was praying behind someone, some imam, his recitation is just perfect, but once he made mistakes. So he said, in one of the ayahs, in which Allah says, Al-Azim, so he said, Al-Azim. Okay, so the difference between Azim and Azim is very huge. Azim means great. Azim means the one who has been invited. Who has been invited for some food. Okay? So, that is description of God. Okay? To name God as invited one for food, that is kufr. That invalidates salat. Okay? So, anyone who cannot pronounce Allah, most likely his salat is invalid. Okay? Or we have got Ayn also. Okay? Some of them make even convert Hamza into Ayn. For example, they say Allahu Akbar or Allahu Akbar. It happens, you know, a lot. Okay? Or they may say even Assalamu Alaikum. Do you know? It happens when it comes together. So they just...
In a sort of real, sort of practical situation, say I pray in a jama'ah regularly, and I know that by any standard, you know, one particular imam makes pretty much every mistake you could hope to make. Then, in that sense, what would be, you know, who would make the judge? In terms of, is it an obligation on you to step forward and say, you shouldn't lead the prayer, or should you just be quiet, not to cause fitna?
Okay, no, it depends. If you have some kind of reputation in that place, authority, for example, respected person, then definitely you have to change it. Do you remember? Man ra'a minkum munkaran, you know, anyone who sees something bad, sin, then let him to change it by his hand or, you know, hadith. So if you have got some kind of authority, then it's very important for you to change it. It's wajib. Okay, but if you are just normal person among the other people, then it's better not to do it.
So, if I know that every sort of time, Fulan needs a prayer and he can't recite properly. So maybe Maghrib time, he leads a prayer and he can't recite properly. If it's mustahab for me to pray in the masjid, wajib to pray in jama'ah, is it better if I can pray in jama'ah, say even in my home? Is that preferable to going to masjid?
It's a very complicated question. So it is only for this audience, okay? Not for everyone. This fatwa is not for everyone. So it's better not to go to pray there behind that imam. Or you should go later to be imam. So you will be imam and someone else will come to join to you. But to pray behind that imam is not recommended. Because anyway, you have to repeat it. Because I remember for about 6 months, I used to pray Jummah behind some imam and I used to repeat Dhuhr after that. Wala al-muqtasi khalf al-uryan. And also, it's not permissible to pray someone, al-muqtasi means the one who wears clothes, khalf al-uryan, behind the one who doesn't have clothes. Okay? وَيَجُوزُ أَنْ يَأُمَّ الْمُتَيَمِّمُ الْمُتَوَضِّئِينَ. And it is permissible for the one who made tayammum to lead jama'ah of those who made wudu. Why is this difference?
Why is
this difference?
In
because the one who has excuse, he cannot lead the jama'ah of the ones who have perfect wudu. But the one who made tayammum, he can lead jama'ah of those who made wudu.
Because it's the same status of wudu.
Excellent, because tayammum and wudu is same thing. But the wudu of excusable people who has got an excuse, it's not wudu. It is just excuse or some kind of rukhsa basically. Then we say, وَالْمَاسِحُ عَلَى الْخُفَّيْنِ الْغَاسِلِينَ والمسح على الخفين الغاسلين. And it is permissible for the one who did make masah, who did wipe over his leather socks, it's permissible for him to lead the jama'ah of those who did wash their feet. Also, logic, reasonable. ويصلي القائم خلف القاعدة. And also, it is permissible for the one who is standing to pray behind the one who is sitting. Okay? So, by using analogy, we say it's not permissible. I mean, this is not valid scenario. Okay, so that is the opinion of Sahbain. But Abu Hanifa, he made istihsan. Okay, and he basically made istihsan. If you remember Rasulullah, the last, very last salat he ever prayed with jama'ah, he was sitting and Sahaba was standing. Okay, so that was the reason of istihsan. And that is mu'tamad. ولا يصلي الذي يركع ويسجد خلف المومي. But the one who can make ruku and sujood, he cannot pray. He's not allowed to pray behind the one who prays with imam. What is imam? Ishara, yes, with his head. Like this, imam, with his head, ishara. Why? If, I mean, you can pray standing, if you can pray behind the one who's sitting,
he's been given an excuse because of some problem he has. So a person without an excuse who can perform the actions
okay.
fully can't pray behind a person with any kind of excuse.
No, that's wrong. Because but both of them have as excuse, am I right? Yeah. Yes.
The one with the shala, you don't know what part of the prayer is.
No. For example, if he says Sami Allahu liman hamida, do you think that he's still standing and reciting Quran? You definitely know. Is there any option?
Is it to do with how much of the salat is affected?
No, he's making, he cannot make ruku and sujood. He only makes ishara like this, on, by his hand. So, the one who is standing, he cannot pray behind the one who is making ishara.
Is it because of the way it looks?
So?
To people watching. Because if someone is just sitting or standing
yeah.
or, and just doing ishara, and people are doing sujood behind or ruku behind, it could come across to onlookers the wrong way, the wrong idea.
That the same problem with the previous issue, the one who is sitting,
but can they not bend forward?
Yes, he can move.
But if they're doing ishara, then they stood still and or sat still, and they're not even
making ruku and sujood.
Yeah, so it could look like the focus is not making sujood to Allah.
Okay, well, reasonable. Anything else? Basically, all of these masail based on one qaida. The person with stronger option cannot, with a stronger condition, cannot follow the one who is with lower condition. But only we made exception of the one who is sitting to be leading the one who is standing because of hadith, because of the reason of making istihsan. But in all of other issues, we do not have any hadith which we can use to make istihsan. Did you understand? Yes. Then he says, وَلَا يُصَلِّ الْمُفْتَرِضُ خَلْفَ الْمُتَنَفِّلِ. And it's not permissible for the one who is praying fard to pray behind the one who is praying nafl. For example, let's suppose I came to Salat al-Dhuhr. Okay, but then I found that they did pray. Okay, then I saw someone who came late and he's praying four rakat of sunnah of Dhuhr. So I will go to join to him to pray my fard and he's praying his sunnah. So according to our madhab, that's not permissible. Why?
It's the intention of the imam or the other person that you're following behind. So your intentions are going to be for two different salat.
No, then if I am praying fard, then someone can come to join to me to pray nafl. Hmm. It's different intentions, but salat is valid.
Can you just repeat the thing?
For example, someone is praying four rakats of sunnah of dhuhr, so I will pray behind him four rakats of fard of dhuhr. So he says that's not valid.
You mean with him?
With him.
But the person that joins for nafl, he's not joining with any intention of jama'ah.
No, with the intention of jama'ah, of course, to pray behind me.
But is the person who's doing the sunnah, he doesn't have the intention of...
No, he will have.
He's leading.
No, no.
You, basically.
No, he has intention.
It's the same as praying behind a child who is not mukallaf. The prayer is not on the same level.
No, according to Hanafi madhab, now it became on the same level because if this person invalidates his nafl, then he has to repeat it. So now it became on the same level. Am I right?
When you say invalidates nafl,
yeah, breaks his nafl,
yeah, and he has to
repeat wajib.
It's wajib to
repeat. Wajib, yes.
But nafl is optional in the first
place. It is, yes. So in the first place, it was optional, but as soon as you will start, you have to complete.
You're gonna have to do a recount.
So even for nafl salat, it's like.
Yeah, so but in Shafi'i Madhab, as you said, but in Hanafi is different because Allah says, وَلَا تُبْتُلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah says, and do not destroy your action. So to start is our option, but to complete is not our option because Allah forbid us to break our action, basically. Because it's again because of the same thing, because I told you, the one with stronger condition cannot follow the one with lower condition. So the one who is praying fard, his condition is stronger. Okay? And the one who is praying nafl, his condition is lower. Why? Because for example, to stand, qiyam, for the one who is praying fard, to stand, that is fard. But what about the one who is praying nafl? Qiyam for him is nafl also, sunnah. Did you understand? So your, even if he equals you in terms of completing salat, so to complete salat is wajib, okay? But in terms of how to complete salat, he is still lower than you. Did you understand? Okay? But that is not only the problem. We have got the other problem also. He says, وَلَا مَنْ يُصَلِّي فَرْضًا خَلْفَ مَنْ يُصَلِّي فَرْضًا آخر. And also it's not permissible in Hanafi madhab to pray your fard behind someone who is praying some other fard. For example, you are praying qada, and he's praying dhuhr ada, and you are praying four rakats of asr qada. Okay, so now you cannot join to him to pray your fard qada, even if it is the same level. But what's the difference now? What is wrong with now?
Is it again the same sort of his condition having to need to pray that qada is stronger than the prayer that he's still got time.
Okay, then let's make it other way around. For example, the one who prays qada, and it's not permissible for him to lead the one who's praying adha. It will be again the same. Yeah, this is a tricky question.
Is it because the qada is his own responsibility? And
no, it is the same thing with adhan, because everyone is responsible for his own salat, am I right? We say
the requirement to do the current salat is a requirement to read that with jama'ah. But there's no requirement to read qada salat with jama'ah. So it's a lower status.
No, but what about other way around? If the person who's praying qada, and then I came to join to him to pray my own adha. So for me, I mean, I've been requested to pray with jama'ah. Mm. So now I'm making jama'ah behind the one who's praying qada. So we say...
How do you know that he's praying qada?
For example, I will ask him. I will ask him, are you praying qada? He says, then I will join to him.
Then he responded to you.
He's Salafi, for example. So he didn't.
It's a tricky question, this thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
You purposely threw it in.
Is it because there's too much uncertainty as to. No, sorry, that doesn't make sense.
Okay, so
is it because like you might be doing qada of a certain prayer, and but the person who's leading is not like for instance, if I was doing qada of a sunnah mu'akkida prayer, and in that I need to recite. Fatiha and surahs,
yeah.
In my raqa'as, but they might be reading a fard prayer, so I don't actually can replace what I missed.
No, because as soon as you will join to jama'ah, then whatever imam recites, that's basically your recitation. That basically will fulfill your recitation. Okay, so anyway, it is a tricky question. We say, basically, because when you're praying with jama'ah, so they have to be on the same status. So they have to be, you can say they have to take a share from both sides. Did you understand? So one, the praying of one person is, it goes to one side, and the pray salat of the other person, it goes to the other side. So it's not basically sharing the same salat. Okay, because the meaning of jama'ah is to share the same thing. Am I right? Okay, so there is no this meaning, so that's why in Hanafi Madhab, according to Hanafi Madhab, that is not permissible to do. You know, we have some chapter in Science of Hadith. Is there anyone who did study Mustalah al-Hadith? Mustalah al-Hadith. Do you know, for example, what's the meaning of Sahih, Da'if, Mutawatir, Maqbul, Shadh? Do you know? Okay, so basically one of the chapters of basically the hadith, it's mu'al, hadith mu'al. Mu'al illa is basically defect, defected hadith. Okay, defected hadith is weak, one of the kinds of weak hadith. But what is the meaning of defected hadith? We say it is hadith which looks like to be authentic, sahih. Okay, but because some of the reliable scholars said that it is weak. But when you will ask him to prove that it is weak, he will be unable to prove. Did you understand? So we say that is hadithun mu'al. Did you understand? Okay? So the same thing in terms of fiqhi issues. Sometimes the proof of mujtahid could be not convincing enough. Did you understand? So basically he is using his, you can say experience, because he had long experience dealing with these kind of issues. So that is one of the kinds of basically fiqhi masail also. Okay, so now in this issue, is not that convincing. So for example, he says, because jama'ah is sharing the same thing. Did you understand? But in that case, why someone can pray nafil behind someone who is praying fard. They're not sharing the same thing. Am I right? Did you understand? So they know that there is something different between this and that. But when they give you a proof, it will not be convincing. Did you understand? Okay. Then he says, وَيُصَلِّ الْمُتَنَفِّلُ خَلْفَ الْمُفْتَرِدِ. But the person who is praying nafil, he is permissible, he is allowed to pray behind the one who is praying fard. Then, وَمَنْ اِقْتَدَى بِإِمَامٍ ثُمَّ عَلِمَ أَنَّهُ عَلَى غَيْرِ وُضُوءٍ أَعَادَ الصَّلَاةِ. Anyone who prays behind some imam and then he discovers that imam didn't have wudu. It's exactly your question again. We cannot
escape it.
Yeah. So he finds out afterwards that he didn't have. Then we say he has to repeat his salah. But the question, is it according to you or is it according to imam? What do you think?
Imam will have to tell you,
wouldn't he? No, for example, imam is Shafi'i. Okay, then he's bleeding. Okay, you saw him bleeding. But according to him, he has wudu. But according to you, he doesn't have. So can you pray behind him?
Yeah, because I would say yeah, because he's the imam. And
okay, so he's madhab.
Yeah,
okay.
You've chosen to
okay.
follow in the first place.
I think there's a difference of opinion on this.
No, the biggest... the biggest difference of opinion is the mas'alatul mazahib. Okay, so anyway, which kind of difference of opinion?
Well, there's, I'm sure there'll be, like, from your opinion, because for you to pray behind an imam, naturally the imam has to have wudu.
Right. According to him or according to you?
Well, this is okay, why okay. I think there might be more than one opinion.
Okay.
Because I can see how that makes sense. But it needs to be according to you because
okay,
you're praying,
yes.
right? It's according to your shart and your rukh.
Yes, yes.
If it was, for example, a Hanafi imam and he started bleeding, you say the prayer is, and you
yes.
knew it, the prayer you'd say is invalid.
Yes.
So why should it be a difference for you?
Yeah.
If the Shafi imam
yes.
starts bleeding.
Exactly.
But then, we live in a multi-madhab world.
Okay. So you're responsible for whatever only you see.
Mm.
Okay, but only possibility, it does make sense. So
mm.
what? But if you saw him bleeding, then basically it invalidates. So the most important thing is your own madhab, but not the madhab of imam. Okay? So if imam doesn't have wudu according to your madhab, but according to his own madhab he has wudu, then your salat is not valid behind him. Because you are responsible for your own salat. And your salat had to be based on the valid salat of some imam. And it wasn't like that. So your salat is not valid. Understood, inshallah.
What about things like you know, making rafadin?
No, that doesn't invalidate salat, does it?
But I mean, not invalidates it, but that's a condition for, say, Imam Shafi to do that. But you don't do that in the Hanafi faith.
No. In Shafi madhab, it's not condition.
Right.
They say it is hay'a, means style. Hay'a in Shafi madhab even lower than our sunnah mustahab.
Right.
So it is hay'a.
Right.
So even they have sunnah mu'akkad, sunnah mustahab, and then hay'a. So hay'a is our adab.
Right.
Did you understand? So there's no condition.
Okay.
So maybe you could be right in terms of awza'i madhab. So accordingly, only to Imam Awza'i, it is fard to raise the hands. Did you understand? So then if there would be some awza'i praying behind Hanafi, then Salat of Awza'i wouldn't be permissible. But Awza'i madhab has been it lost long time ago. It's not there yet, so far as I know. Then he says, وَيُكْرَهُ لِلْمُصَلِّ أَنْ يَعْبَثَ بِثَوْبِهِ. So these are basically the makruh actions of Salat, makruhat of Salat. يكره للمصلي. As I told you before, anyway, in Hanafi books, if you will find it says makruh or يكره, so that is makruh tahriman. But if it will be tanzihan, then he will just put condition that it is tanzihan. So it is makruh tahriman for the person who is praying and ya'batha bithawbihi, to play with his thawb, cloth. Means not to play, means to do something which is not necessary. So for example, he's staying and then he's just playing like this, you know. Do you understand? He's just doing nothing. Or with his body. Okay, it happens a lot. I saw quite a few brothers while they're praying, they all the time touch their beard. I don't know why. No, it's some kind of habits. Today, it was really a strange thing. ولا يقلب الحصى إلا مرة إلا أن لا يمكنه السجود فيسويه مرة واحدة. And he says, and he will not be turning, he will not be wiping the sand. حصى is small stones, so he will not be wiping it from his place of sajda, except if it will be very difficult for him to make sujood on it. It's too sharp, so when he puts his forehead, it may hurt him. So then, فيسويه مرة واحدة. Then it's permissible for him to wipe it only once. Okay. ولا يفرقع أصابعه. And it is مكروه تحريما also to basically how do they say, to crinkle, maybe to crinkle his fingers, isn't it? To crack. Sorry. Crack. Okay. Yes. To do this with his fingers during salat. And also, we say the same thing about doing this. Without making any voice, okay? And also, as soon as Imam enters Salat, okay, and you're walking towards the Jama'ah, then it, all of this becomes makruh for you. Why? Because you will be considered as with Imam. Did you understand? Yeah. وَلَا يَتَخَصَّر. وَلَا يَتَخَصَّر means to put the hands like this. That is takhassur. Okay? Did you understand? To put like this. Okay? وَلَا يَسْدِلُ ثَوْبَهُ. And he will not leave his clothes to be hanging. Okay? So have you seen, for example, even, for example, in Saudi, when they pray, no, they put their scarves back. Why? Because it is just to let the scarves or clothes hanging, that is makruh, tahriman. Okay? And even we say, for example, we have got two things. One is, for example, you have this kind of cloth. So, to pray with this, like that, is also makruh. Your hands out. Did you understand? So it's not in, but it's out. You'll be praying like this.
Like she is.
Like she is. Why? Because this is hanging. Or even to pray with this cloth is makruh if you will not tie it up like this. So when you will be praying, it shouldn't be hanging. Did you understand? So for example, like this is makruh. Did you understand?
Like the imams of Makkah, when we see them, the sheets that they have over their head, I'm sure
they haven't put into that thing.
Sir?
Oh, right. Okay.
So it's not hanging.
Yes. Or they just put it back. Right. If they don't have this, then they just put it back.
But some people here,
yeah,
mimic them, but don't know,
yeah,
that it's wrong to let the scarf hang. So there's a lot of people who like put it on here and they just let it hang without tying it back somewhere.
Yes, restraining it. Yeah. So that is basically makruh. And also, sometimes it may happen that sometimes, do you know, with normal shirts, we have got, do you know, this button. If you will not put it in, then this hole, it will be too big, you know, too wide. So when you're praying, so it will be just hanging. Okay, but if this hole will be too short, then that's fine. It will not be hanging. But if it is too long, then this place will be hanging. if you understand. Yeah. But with normal shoes, it's not like that. It's just special shoes. It will be. It used to be fashion long time ago, maybe 70s. You know, with yeah, this also it used to be very long. You know that fashion. So they used to have it. This hole used to be very, very long. ولا يعقص شعره, and it is not permissible to make his hair. So, for example, if you have long hair, then to bring it back and to basically tie on your head. Did you understand? Yeah. So that is not permissible. ولا يكف ثوبه, and it is not permissible. يكف has got two meanings. كف is to block, to stop, block. Okay. It's not permissible. So, for example, while you are spraying. And your cloth is hanging. So if that's the case, then you cannot take it back during salat. Okay? Or the other meaning of your kufu is to roll over. While you're praying, it's not permissible to roll over your cloth. Did you understand? So
whilst you're praying, or including before?
No, before.
You had a shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Back, so you have to bring it back. You have to put it back, yes. So that is makruh.
So if you're wearing loose clothes, or yourself,
yeah,
then they become loose during salat.
Yes, yeah, so you shouldn't do this, roll over.
Okay.
Do you know the legs and the hands?
Yeah,
you shouldn't do that. Then he says, "Wala yaltafitu." Oh. Yeah,
sorry,
that's fine.
Interrupted.
That's so fine.
Do you say in general you shouldn't roll your sleeves up?
No, only inside of salat. Yeah, so you shouldn't be praying with rolled clothes. Did you understand?
Yeah.
Put it back and then pray.
You're talking about arms?
These and legs also.
Trousers also?
Both. Both. Yeah. Both are makruh,
and
basically.
Which then, if it's makruh to turn your legs,
yeah,
turn the trouser legs,
yes,
up, to bring them above the ankle,
yeah, yeah,
is it better to, if that's makruh,
yeah,
is it better just to leave them?
That is the other makruh also, and basically which one is more dangerous. So I have been told that Bralwi Maulanas, they say that to roll them, that is more dangerous. But I would say to leave them, for example, beneath the ankle, that is more dangerous. Because in terms of this rolling, Rasulullah just forbidded us. He said, we are that kind of people who do not do this. Okay? But in terms of, for example, having the clothes beneath the ankles, he said the hellfire will be to that person. So which one is more dangerous? The hellfire is more dangerous. Did you understand? So I would say to roll it, that is easier. But that is makruh, but that is easier than the other thing. Did you understand?
You know, when you mentioned resources, and you said that we're not people who, to the name, meaning who roll.
Yes.
Is that referring only to salat?
Yes, only yes. Yes. ولا يلتفت, and he shouldn't be turning. Okay? So that is, we have got three levels of turning the face. One is just by looking the eyes. Okay? So by eyes, just you're looking around, left and right. So that is makruh tanzihan. But if you are turning your face, you know, the sides, that is makruh tahriman. Okay? But by turning your chest, okay, away from Kaaba, from Qibla, that invalidates your salat. If you will do that deliberately, even for a short while. But if it happens accidentally, then if you will remain turned away chest, on the length of one rukun, your salat will be invalidated. For example, you were praying and then you just fell down. Okay? So if you will stand up straight away, before you will complete one whole rukun, then you can catch up your salat. Okay?
Sorry, I missed a bit about
the length.
Eyes move.
Yeah, okay, so we say, we have got three kinds of movement, turning. The first is the eyes. So you are praying, but you are looking around. So that is makruh tanzihan. Okay, and the second, because it is sunnah to look at the place where you are making sajda. Okay, so look around, that is makruh tanzihan. But to move your head looking around, that is makruh tahriman. But to move the chest that is haram and that invalidates salat if you will do that deliberately, even for short while. But if you will do it accidentally, if you will do it accidentally, if you will do it accidentally, then you have to catch up before you will complete one whole rukun. Did you understand? So for example, you fell down, okay? Then basically you have to stand up before you will be able to complete one whole rukun. So that is وَلَا يَلْتَفِتُ وَلَا يُقَعِ وَلَا يُقَعِ وَلَا يُقَعِ means to sit by putting the hands on the ground and to by lifting the legs, to putting them like that. Exactly like this. Okay? So this sitting is also makruh. Okay? So any sitting which goes against sunnah sitting, that is makruh. Okay? And even he will mention it. For example, to sit like this is also makruh, without excuse. Okay? For example, like that or like that. Both, so that is iqa'a and that is tarabbu'. Okay? So both is basically makruh. Then he says, وَلَا يَرُدُّ السَّلَامَ بِلِسَانِهِ وَلَا بِيَدِهِ. And to reply to greeting, to reply to salam by his tongue or by his hand is makruh. By his hand is makruh. But by his tongue, that is haram, invalidating. But by his hand, that is makruh tahriman. He will be sinful.
How about in Salat? I remember a few times somebody Salat and their nose was running, for example.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a problem for some of us sometimes. What do you do in Salat? Your nose is running. And
yes.
You don't want it pouring, so you've got a tissue in there, so, you know, is it okay to take a tissue out during Salat?
Yes, yes.
Is it better just to kind of, you know, like...
No, it happened even to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to wear like this. Okay, so it happened. He was maybe ill, so basically he just wiped that with his chadar. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have to have tissue papers ready, clothes to be used. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if you think that it takes too long, too many movements, then you shouldn't do it because it will invalidate your salah.
What is too many movements?
Basically, when someone will see you, he will say that you are not praying. So for example, let's suppose that I'm standing, okay, and I'm doing this. The one who looks at me, he will say that I'm not praying. Okay, so for example, like this. Did you understand? Okay, but for example, if you will put your tissue papers here or there, then it's easy. Okay, just you will take it, okay, and then just you will just drop it.
Side pockets on here as well.
Yes, but if it should be very close to use. Did you understand? Then he says, وَلَا يَتَرَبَّعُ إِلَّا مِنْ عُذْرٍ. And he will not sit like this. تَرَبَّعُ is like this. Like this. Except if he has got some kind of excuse. Okay, he's ill, he's very tired. Then he can sit like this. وَلَا يَأْكُلُ. And it's makruh also to eat. But... do you know the size of the dal, you know? If it will be that much or less, then it doesn't invalidate if you will swallow that. But if it will be more than that, it will invalidate your salat. Because it will be considered as just eating food. And the same thing about drinking. Okay? And the question, what about the scenario if someone, for example, has got chewing gum in his mouth and he is praying? He has got some chewing gum in his mouth, for example, he puts it on the side and then he prays. This question came to me maybe twice or for three times. Means there are sisters and brothers who do it.
It sounds like something that would be, to do intentionally would be disrespectful. So I would think that it's better not to do it, but it doesn't sound like it invalidates your salat.
Okay, excellent. So that is makruh tahriman, but that doesn't invalidate. Why? Because it basically confuses you. It will not allow you to recite properly, and also it is something which is disrespectful towards salat. Okay, so alhamdulillah, let's stop here.
If you pray, I know because I've done this accidentally. I've had chewing gum for about an hour in my mouth, and then I quickly decided to pray and realized that it's in my mouth.
Yeah, is that take it off
to spit it out?
No, with hand.
And continue prayer rather than break your prayer.
Yes, but
not in the mosque carpet.
No. I'll have to borrow tissue from the guy next to me.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's all for today.
Can I ask one quick question? If you're praying and you have a young child with you, it's a type of jama'ah that you can't, it's too big to leave them at the back because they're too young.
Yeah.
And how do you, I mean, are you allowed movements to control them, make sure that they don't disrupt anyone else's prayer?
Yeah, with less number of movements.
Can you sort of pray and sort of hold them at the same time as praying? Is that better?
I think that's makruh, but that's valid, yes.
But it's better just to pray, and yes. If they move.
Yes.
Okay.
That's but to hold it all the time, because you are missing sunnah muakkadah.
Yeah.
Okay, sunnah position, you're missing it. So I always say that it's makruh tahrim, basically.
I just have one question, just a general question. If you've got a piece of paper, you've got written down an Islamic writing, or you've got the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in English, or Rasulullah sallam, what is the ruling regarding that piece of paper, like, if you want to get rid of it? Because it's like... I don't know, say, you know, somebody writes you a letter and they say, I begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on.
Or wedding cards is quite common.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
So how do you...
So basically, in the past time, we used to have graves for the mushaf and that kind of things, okay? So, practically now, if you can just burn it, then maybe that's the most practical, realistic way, maybe. Or something even better, two, maybe there will be some kind of, you know, brothers who will be going around the mosques and who have got in the mosques so many destroyed pages of Quran, and it's just falling in different places, you know. So to collect all of that and to take it to some respectable place, which, you know, never to be stabbed by people, just to bury it there, then you will be rewarded.
Even if it's in English?
Well...
Or does it have to be in Arabic, like the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
So if it is in Arabic, then definitely. Then but definitely. If it is in English, then I don't know what is the position of our scholars now, but I do treat it as normal Arabic writing. Yes, so... because the pronunciation is same, you know, in Arabic or in English, for example, they write, for example, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in English or in Arabic. Both is the same, for example, pronunciation. So basically I would say we have to be careful. Allahu a'lam.
And it's the same with like name of Sahaba?
No, if it has got name of Allah, for example, Abdullah bin Rawaha, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, okay, then it will be the same. But the rest of the names, well, it will not go to that level. Did you understand?
I have one question left over from last week. You said that when you pray and you say, when there's four rakahs and in the sec-
in the second rakat you're doing tashahud,
hmm.
But you accidentally start durood.
Yes.
And you're saying Allahumma salli ala, and then you said if you stop there, or before you complete Muhammad,
yes,
then you can just get up and yes. continue. If you say Muhammad, then you've got to do sajda sahu.
Yes.
If, and again, it's happened to me, I join prayer, and I'm sat in the second rakah, and I've accidentally started durood. Mm-hmm. And you go to Allahumma salli ala, and you pronounce Muhammad and all continue beyond that point. But you're following, then what do you have to
do? No, if you're following behind Imam, then there is nothing in there. There's just follow. No.
Okay.
Nothing in. Because if you remember, we did read this text in Quduri. He said that by forgetting, how we read the Sajdatu Sahu.
No, yeah, no.
Okay, yes. So it will be coming, inshallah. Okay.